cast your burden unto Jesus, for he cares for you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you, now let's see how many people can obey. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody? So normally when I say this, everybody starts wandering. And I go from here over to there. Just turn around and shake somebody's hand. Say, I'm glad you're here. Looks like you mostly obeyed. Praise the Lord. That worked out all right.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. You might get somewhere here tonight. Hallelujah. You may be seated for just a moment. We're just so thankful to have you here tonight. And I want to just take just a few minutes, just as little amount of time as I can, but so that we can give time for the Word. And also, we, the Lord willing, we'd like to have a prayer line after the service. So, so we want you to keep that in mind and be in prayer about that. And if you need to leave, we completely understand. We don't want you to feel awkward, but we do ask that if you do need to leave, that you would do it quietly, we will remain here and do what we can to. How many believe we serve a living God? How many believe that he's the same today? Amen. So I'm in expectation here tonight. And God always exceeds my expectations. So my expectation is pretty high tonight. So trust that yours is too. So we want to thank you for joining us for our 25th anniversary meetings. And we're glad that you're all here. And we invite you to join your liquefier. Just toss it in. Don't hold back. Just toss it in there. And we'll just have a nice bonfire here tonight. And as the word goes forth, and I would just love nothing more than to call each one of you out by name and greet you and maybe even have you say a few words. But we just don't have the time. And we know that we will one day. So if you could just bear with me. If you're a minister, would you mind standing here tonight? And we'd just like to recognize you. Don't be shy. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Appreciate you. Amen. And likewise, there are several churches that are represented here tonight, and you know, we appreciate each and every fellowship that's joined with us, and we just want you to feel welcome. Amen. Now, normally, what we've been doing for we've had annual meetings, fellowship meetings for 25 years now. Actually, we missed one year last year when we had the fire, so we've had 24. And our motive has always been to try to bring people together for fellowship, and we've always done our best to follow the leading of the Lord to bring ministries in that we believe would be helpful. And by God's grace, we've been successful, and I believe we'll continue to be successful in that regard. And no big eyes, no little U's, but it's just us getting together and fellowshipping around the Word and trying to encourage one another and provoke one another to good works.
Right.
Nothing wrong with provoking. Just make sure it's the right direction.
Amen.
Yeah. You ever met somebody that you just get around them and they just challenge you to live higher?
Yeah.
That's what we want to. That's what we want to do.
Yes.
Amen. So I don't think I've ever publicly mentioned this before, but in 2006, I was a little discouraged because we send flyers out to about 100 different churches, and we have done that for many years. And by 2006, it just didn't seem that there was, you know, it seemed like I was pushing on a rope, wasting postage, because there just wasn't, just didn't seem to be any, a desire for that or an excitement. Now, I don't know what the reason is. Maybe it's all my fault. I don't know. But the desire was there, and the desire is still there. And so I wasn't sure whether we were going to do it or not. And then I was invited to go to Trinidad for the first time, and I went there, and I preached at a different church each night. And then on the last night, we were at a big church, and all the brothers from each of the churches just followed us from church to church. And I went to my very first minister's meeting, and, you know, I'm not naive. I recognized that they were on their best behavior because I was there. But they'd been doing this for about 30 years, once a month, and they have as many differences as we do, and yet they committed to get together once a month. Now, part of it might be that they're stuck on an island together, so you might as well figure out how to live together. I don't know, but I was so inspired by that, and of course, that week that I was gone, it was in July, we got 6 inches of rain in 1 hour. And it wiped out the trails in Sabino Canyon. It wiped out the road, and it looked like it was never going to open up again. And it turns out that Sabino Canyon is very popular in the secular world as well. And so, to my surprise, there was a lot of money and energy that was put in, and it was a year or two before they opened it up again, but they did open it up. Anyway, while I was over in Trinidad, the Lord showed me a tree that just had a few leaves on it. And then he showed me that very same tree, and it was full of leaves. And, of course, we know that the leaves represent the fellowship of the brethren. And I felt very strongly that the Lord was telling me to cast my net on the other side of the boat. You know, it's like, well, what good would that do, you know? But I just followed the Lord's leading, and so we got back. And, I mean, I didn't do anything different except cast the net on the other side of the boat, I suppose. We sent out our flyers as we normally did, and we rented the Holiday Inn over on Palo Verde, and we had probably 600 people that came. I mean, we'd never, you know, the year before we maybe had 5 visitors, and we had some wonderful meetings, and so we've just been encouraged to continue to do this each year, and we've normally done this for years out in a neutral place, just to encourage everybody to come and not feel nervous that it's at a certain church. But over the years, our local fellowship has kind of suffered a little bit because they're the Marthas. They're laboring away to, you know, we spend a lot of money and a lot of energy and get things set up, so we want them to be blessed too. So, we'll just try and do it again back in the home church. And so anyway, we're glad you're here, and we love you. We're on the same team. We're on the same side, and we're nearing the finish line. And so thank you very much. So we've had Brother Andrew Glover start the meetings with the accumulation of faith. Powerful, powerful message, and just so much in there. And it was an emptying out, and it was an opportunity to look through your bags that you're carrying. And do I really need to carry this? And, you know, I've been carrying this for a long time, and I might be able to use it someday. Dump it out. And then the next night, Brother Jack Duff ministered for us, Step Into the Vision. So you emptied out the first night. The next night, okay, now fill up with something. Open up and say, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Not according to all this junk that I've been carrying around in the bag that's been holding me back. Amen. You just see the hand of the Lord in it, you know. None of us talked ahead of time, and I just love how the Lord works. So we expect tonight for the Lord to minister to us once again. And I have my good buddy, Brother Darrell Ward, that's going to minister for us tonight. Glory. And, you know, is it okay that he's my buddy?
Yes.
So, as I've said before, I invite ministers because I feel led that that's the right ministry. but he just happens to be my buddy, too.
All right. So amen.
I'd invite him whether he was my buddy or not, but
amen.
He's my buddy. So.
Yes.
Is that okay? Do you have buddies? Is it okay if I have one?
Yes.
You know, us ministers, we have a very small peer group.
Yes. Amen.
And so we treasure the fellowship that we get to have and just encourage one another in the faith. So we're going to invite our brother Daryl to come up and just take his liberty once again. And I'm going to break the thing that I said I wasn't going to call out any names, but if you could just bear with me. Brother Franklin Machian, where are you at? Okay, his son is with us tonight. And if you would stand, we'd like to recognize you. That's Gideon. Gideon's hallelujah. His mother went home to be with the Lord a month ago. But we believe she's in a better place.
Amen.
So make sure you shake his hand.
Amen.
If you get the opportunity. Make sure that you get the opportunity. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you wouldn't mind standing tonight. Hey, we got a piano. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. If you weren't here on Wednesday night, Sister Victoria played the keys right off of the piano. And we had our piano brought back from the restoration company, and they said, oh, yeah, it's fine. It went through the fire, but it's fine. The keys are coming off, and she couldn't hit the flats or the sharps, and it made it sound like she didn't know how to play, but it was the instrument. So, grace of God, we have this here tonight. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. How many needs the Lord? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. So I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship. Worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. How many can say, I need you, Lord? Let's just lift our hands to Him tonight. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Sing that one more time, then indulge me. Happy anniversary, Sister Baker. Happy 39th anniversary. One more time. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing it again. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right. present help. Hallelujah. Oh, I lift my hands and I bow my knees and worship at your feet. I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful song that is. You know, it would be so sad if we had a need and there was nothing that could satisfy that need. But what a blessed people we are that no matter what our need would be, whether it would be the greatest need in the congregation or what somebody else would say, oh, that's nothing. But to you, it's something. And to know that we serve a God that if it's opening blinded eyes or raising the dead or casting out a spirit, He can meet every need in the building tonight. He's no respect of persons. He's the God of the white man, the black man, the red man, the brown man, the yellow man. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a living God tonight. He's not dead. He's alive and well and moving among His people, fulfilling the promises of His word, the things that He said He would do. Amen. And every need that's in the building tonight, we can leave here whole. We can leave here delivered. We can leave here refilled. You can leave here whatever you have need of tonight. If thou can believe, all things are possible. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I remember when my daughter was laying in a coma, struck by a train, and my wife was by her bedside praying. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
And while she was praying, Brother Jack reminded us of it last night. I looked over, I said, do you remember? And she said, yes, tears in her eyes, kneeling down beside the bed, praying for our little girl. And the Lord spoke that scripture to her over in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. She got up, she opened up the Bible, and it said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, if He can do that for her, He can do it for you tonight. Whatever you have need of, just look to Christ tonight and believe Him tonight. Oh, He wants to save you. He wants to heal you 1,000 times more than you want to be healed. Amen. The Lord bless you richly. Do you love Him tonight? We count it such an honor to be here and be a part of these meetings. And, you know, I kind of coined a saying off of Brother Doug that there ain't no better place to be in February than Tucson. And when I got the call to come, I was just so happy. Amen. I always enjoy coming down this way. And, you know, I know you can, the great man of God out on the field preaching, you could have had some tremendous ministries, and yet He allowed me to come, and I just so appreciate it that I could just come and be a part of the ministry and be a part of the meetings. And we just trust something will be said to help you. And a little bit nervous tonight, you know, my pastor's here. That always makes me a little bit nervous. It's sort of like preaching to your daddy almost, you know. You all pray for me tonight. I'm going to try not to look at him. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. Can I just say one more thing while you're standing? And Brother Baker was talking about the scars from the fire. And after my daughter came home from the hospital, and she's about 6 years old, I guess, at the time, she come running through the house one day, and she had a severe brain injury, and she wasn't able to swallow, so they had to put a feeding tube in her. And so they fed her through this tube in her stomach. And, of course, when the Lord touched her, and they was able to take the tube out, but it left a scar there. And I always told her when she was little, I said, Jessica, you're special because you got two belly buttons, you know. And so anyway, she came through the house one day, and I'll never forget, I was looking over in Genesis 24 and sitting there at the table studying, and she come running by, and she said, Daddy, she said, when's this scar going to go away? I said, honey, that's going to be there for a while. I said, but it'll be okay. And, well, that satisfied her. You know, Daddy answered the question. She went on through the house playing, you know, and I was sitting there, and I got to thinking, and I said, Lord, You could take that scar from her. And You've done so much for her, it would be a sin for me to doubt that You couldn't take that scar from her.
Amen.
And while I was there, I just felt this warm feeling come over me. And a voice spoke to my heart. It wasn't audible, but it spoke to my heart and said, I could take that scar from her. And I just laid my head down on the table, and it seemed like forever. And I just laid there. I never moved. And in a few minutes, I felt it come over me again. And this voice spoke to my heart and said, I could take that scar from her. But I left it. So that every time you see it, it will remind you of where I brought her from. Yeah. Hallelujah. When you see the scars, just remember. Just remember. He gave you beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, the fire department may have put the fire out in the building, but I want them to know down here in Tucson, she's still burning, boys. Hallelujah. We're still on fire tonight. Do you love him? May the Lord bless you richly. If you have your Bibles, turn with us tonight to the book of John. We want to read from chapter 11. And I haven't seen Brother Jack Duff in several years. I always love Brother Jack, love his singing and his preaching. We've been in some meetings together. And amen. Last night when he got to preaching, I just wrote my wife a note. I said, he's wearing me out. It was just... And he ain't going to stop. He got on my other one too, you know. So, but anyway, so we didn't get together. I said, you preach this one night and I'll preach it the next. But you know, the Lord's in it all, and we just thank him for that. But we want to read tonight from St. John chapter 11, starting at verse 17.
Praise God.
May the Lord bless you and thank you for all you've done for us in the room, the place to rest, and the fellowship and the food and the sisters. May the Lord bless each of you. Be our prayer. Amen. St. John 11, starting at verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again.
Amen.
And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Glory.
And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever, that's even here in Tucson, whosoever, amen, liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
Believest thou this?
Amen.
Believest thou this?
Yes.
Amen, Lord. We believe. Let us bow our heads. I want to speak to you tonight, and we'll be just as quick as we can. I want to speak to you tonight on go meet Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. And Father, sometimes I wished I had 10,000 tongues that I could praise you, Lord. For you've been so good to me. And Lord, I am so glad that I can come to you, Lord, with broken tongues. Or I can come to you feeble, Lord, or weak, and you're able to take me up into your arms and mold me again. So, Lord, as they've sung the songs tonight, we cast our cares upon you, Lord, for we know that you care for us. And, Father, I pray tonight that your Spirit would move upon every heart, Lord, no matter how old or young that they would be. Oh, God, that your healing virtue would flow from one to the other, Lord, till all of our sick are healed and our weak are made strong. And Lord, we pray that you would pour out the Holy Spirit tonight, God. Let it rain down upon us, Lord, and baptize everyone with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Save our lost, Lord. Our brothers, our families, Lord, that are drifting. Oh, God, may the Holy Spirit go to them, Lord. Bring them safely back to the fold. Lord, we'd be careful to give you the honor and the praise for these things. Bless Brother Baker, Lord, and his lovely wife on their anniversary, God. That they would have these meetings, Lord, that we could come and be blessed. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless them in a special way. Bless the officers, Lord. All the ministering brothers, God, thank you for their life, their sacrifice. Lord, we ask that you would use them in a great way. And now we commit these things into your hands for your glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says,
amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to call your attention back to verse 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him.
Amen.
But Mary sat still in the house.
Glory.
Now I believe tonight that these two sisters represents everyone that's in this building tonight.
Amen. That's right.
For the way I see it, we can do one or two things.
Glory.
We could do like Martha when she heard that Jesus had come.
Yes.
She got up and went to meet him.
All right.
Or we can be like Mary tonight and sit still in the house. Now, you're going to do one or you're going to do the other.
Amen.
Jesus said, oh my, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. He comes in the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
He sends healing in the form of his word. He comes, hallelujah, to pour out the Holy Ghost. He comes to fulfill every promise that he's made to the believer. He comes to bring deliverance. He comes to bring healing. He comes to bring forgiveness. He comes to bring joy. Unspeakable, amen. He didn't come to give us a little bit of joy. He comes that our joy may be full, amen. Oh, hallelujah. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. Amen. Amen. And when he comes and manifests himself among us, we can either get up and go meet him or we can sit still in the house. Oh, but I say to you tonight, let's not sit still in the house. He's here. Amen. The word says he's here. Then let us get up and possess. Amen. Let us get up and possess what belongs to us. This is our day. This is our hour. This is our time in the sun. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's counting on us.
Amen.
This is our day. This is our hour. This is our time. The promises of God's word that belongs to the believer. They belong to us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Like the sister that was over in the communist country. They wasn't allowed to have church, so they snuck around. Put the where to meet. They'd stick it in bread. And you'd go buy the bread and pull out the note. It'd tell you where church was.
Wow.
And so on the way to the secret church meeting, she ran into a soldier. And he said, hey, where are you going? She said, my brother died, and I'm going for the reading of the will. She got to church. She sung the songs of worship. She danced in the spirit. Somebody spoke in tongues. Somebody interpreted. Somebody was healed. Somebody was delivered. Somebody received the Holy Ghost. They had communion. They had foot washing. Oh, God, give me a church like that. Amen. And on the way home, She was singing softly, the Holy Ghost is mine. Healing is mine. Joy today is mine. All mine. Amen. We need to sing those songs. We need to believe those songs. It is for you. Christ died that you could have every redemptive blessing. Amen. Let the devil rob you of none of it. And on the way home, she ran into the same soldier. And he stuck the gun up in her face. And he said, what did your brother leave you? She smiled real big and said, he's left me everything. Oh, hallelujah. He's not left us poor. He's not left us as an orphan. He's given us everything. Amen. I say tonight, let's get up and meet Jesus. He's the answer to every problem. I'm sick. Then get up and go meet him. I'm discouraged. Then I say to you, get up and go meet him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, all Mary knew was death. Death had come to their house. Sorrow and fear had come to their house. But Martha, she caught a revelation that caused her to get up and go meet him. Now in our Bible story tonight, death had struck the home. Mary and Martha, no doubt, they thought, how could this have happened to us? Jesus is our friend. He slept in our spare room. He sat at our table. We're message believers. We've left everything to follow him. How could this sorrow come to us? How could this doctor's report be so bad? We're his people. He loves us. He cares for us. We should never have trials. We should never have troubles. Every day should be blue skies and smooth sailing. Every day should be a picnic. That is such a wonderful thought. But the problem is, Jesus never said that. He never said we wouldn't cry. He never said we wouldn't have sorrow. He never said we wouldn't suffer. He never said we wouldn't get sick. He never promised smooth sailing. Hallelujah. He never said that there wouldn't be storms. But he did say, amen, he did say, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord our God, amen, he delivers us from them all. Hallelujah. Sometimes God allows things to come into our lives so that he can come to us and show us just how great he is. You may have a great cancer. You may have a great trial. You may have a great problem. But I want you to know that you've got a great God. He's bigger. He's bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than all my fears. Listen. I'm not trying to belittle your sickness tonight. We have real pain. We have real tears. We really hurt. That's true, friends. I don't know what it is, Brother Henry. To lay my head on the steering wheel of the car and cry because I hurt so bad. Fire, like fire, going down my legs and it won't quit. You can't get it to quit. There's no position. Anybody's ever had back pain, you know what I'm talking about. I've literally laid my head on the steering wheel of my car and cried like a baby. I know pain hurts. It's real. Real pain, real sorrow, real problems. But a real God. Hallelujah. Not a God of our imagination.
not a God of organization, not a God of denomination, but a living God. Hallelujah. A living God who promised us, when you go through the fire, I'll be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Martha and Mary, in this great time of sorrow, in this great time of need, it was their darkest hour. That was, think of it. These two girls, Mary and Martha, their mom and daddy done dead. Counting on their brother to help them. Now he's gone. Two girls left alone in the world. Their brother was gone. Their parents were gone. They sat in sackcloth, black veils, weeping and mourning over their brother. And mourning over their self. Because now they're responsible for the bills. They're responsible for a place to live. Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to fix the fence? Who's going to take out the trash? You know what I'm saying? It was in their darkest hour. They were in their darkest hour. I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about followers of Jesus. When you face things in your life, sometimes it's not God rebuking a sinner. It's God testing a saint. And it's in their darkest hour. That's when he shows up. That's just the way he does it. Brother, sister, tonight, this may be your darkest hour right now. But Jesus comes along just at the darkest hour. Think of it, the woman at the well, the woman with the blood issue, she had spent all of her money. And the doctor said, we can't help you. It would have been nice if they'd told her that when she still had money. But they waited till all the money was gone and the insurance had run out. Then all of a sudden they decided, we can't help you. It was her darkest hour. Then Jesus come along. Jairus, his daughter, laying in death. It was his darkest hour. His only little girl. And Jesus came along. Brother Jack, it was the darkest hour of me and Cheryl's life. Her little girl, Jessica, laying there. The doctors told us, we worked with surgery. My wife's a surgical nurse. I worked in surgery. And the doctors told us they were friends of ours. We actually worked with them in surgery. And they told us, they said, it's bad. I said, Mark, how bad is it? He said, I'm sorry. She's hurt too bad to live. Her brain is so severely damaged. She's tore her lungs. She's tore her spleen. She's bleeding in her kidneys. She's vomited and sucked it into her lungs. She's got aspiration. All these things was going on at one time. It was our darkest hour. We went and buried our family, and Cheryl stayed at home to greet those who come for the funeral. Brother Donnie did the funeral. And I went back to the hospital in my darkest hour there in the waiting room. I felt like the weight of the world was upon my shoulders. I felt so alone. There in my darkest hour. Hallelujah. Then Jesus showed up and he spoke to me in the waiting room and he said, your daughter shall live. Hallelujah. It was the darkest hour that Peter and the apostles had ever seen out on the sea. It looked like they were going to drown. Then Jesus come along. It was Martha and Mary's darkest hour. It was their darkest hour. Maybe this is your darkest hour tonight. Then I tell you, get ready. It's just about time. It was Martha's darkest hour that Jesus came. And when Martha realized the answer to her sorrow, the answer to her darkest hour, the answer to her fear was Jesus. And whether you believe it or not, the answer to every problem you have is Jesus. He was the answer yesterday. He's the answer today. And if there is a tomorrow, he will be the answer tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the answer. And when she got word that he had come, when that revelation struck her heart, he's here. The Bible said she got up and went to meet him. Bartimaeus, sitting there on the rocks of the wall that came out of Jericho. He wore a beggar's robe that identified him as a blind beggar. You could tell by the robe he wore that he was a blind beggar. The robe identified his affliction. How they done it, I don't exactly know. But you could tell this is a beggar. This guy's homeless just by the clothes, the robe that they wore. And sitting there with a blind beggar's robe on. Sitting in the sun, trying to just get a few pennies from somebody that would pass by. You know, it's a shame these homeless people take advantage of people that wants to help people. And some of them, you know, it's just nothing but a scam. But there are some out there that really need your help. If you feel led to give them something, give them something. God will honor you for it. Amen. If you're your brother's keeper, be your brother's keeper. Hallelujah. And sitting there on the rock, trying to get a few pennies, he got to thinking about his turtle doves that he once had. That they would do little tricks and people would stop and watch those doves do tricks and they would pitch him coins. But he remembered that his daughter got sick. And he slipped out back behind the house. And he said, "Father, my little girl's sick. They tell me she's not going to live. But oh Lord, if I could find favor in your sight, don't take my baby. She means so much to me. Her little games that she plays, it helps me stay young. Oh, if you won't take her, if you won't take her, I'll give you my doves." She got well.
Amen.
And he kept his promise. You make God a promise, stay with it. Don't make him a promise and quit. If he promises something, do it to the best of your ability. And he went down and gave the doves. He was thinking about those doves. And then he got to thinking, you know, it wasn't long after that my wife got sick. Perhaps it was from the same thing. We really don't know. And the story goes, she slipped back behind the house again. And he looked up towards the heaven with his blind eyes and he said, "Lord, my little queen is sick.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I need her.
Hallelujah.
She cooks my food.
Oh, my.
She helps me, Lord. I can't see to get around. She puts my fork where I can find it.
Oh, my.
She puts my cup where I can find it. I see the world through her eyes. She tells me when the sky's blue. She tells me when the flowers are blooming. Lord, please, don't take my wife from me. If you'll let her live, I'll give you my lamb." And in those days, the lamb was like a sin animal, like they use the dogs today. You know that. And so he was going down to the temple. And the priest said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm coming to the temple to sacrifice my lamb." He said, "Blind Bartimaeus, you can't do that. You need that lamb. It's trained to help you get around. Here, I'll give you some money. Go buy yourself a lamb." But blind Bartimaeus said, "I never promised God a lamb. I promised God this lamb. And if I give God this lamb, he will provide a lamb for my eyes." And sitting there on that rock that day, he began to remember those things. He thought, "Why did I say that? Where did that inspiration come from to say that God would provide a lamb for me? What made me say that?" Words of inspiration. He spoke words of inspiration. God will provide a lamb for my eyes. And as he was thinking about that promise, he heard a noise. And he said, "What's going on? What's all the commotion about?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing through." He said, "Who?" Said, "Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God." my lamb. That's my lamb. He spoke it by inspiration, but his very words became flesh. He stepped into the vision. He stepped into the prophecy. Amen. That's my lamb. And he began to cry, Jesus, thou son of David. What was he doing? Calling to his lamb. Said, hey, calm down. You're making too much noise around here. Oh, you don't like that? Watch this. He cried a little bit louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It wasn't his voice. Jesus was over 100 yards from him. It wasn't his voice. See, Brother Henry, he never heard his voice. What made Jesus stop? What? Everybody was, some cursing him, some worshiping him. And yet he stopped. It was not Belial. It was not his voice that stopped Jesus. It was his faith. Listen to me. God will never move for you because he feels sorry for you. Pity does not move God. Hallelujah. Money does not move God. But there's one thing that'll move God. That's faith. If his faith stopped God, then your faith tonight can stop God. Amen. Jesus stood still. Hallelujah. They said he stopped and he's calling for you. Now blind Bartimaeus was left with the decision. Was he going to sit on the rocks and just think about a lamb? Or was he going to get up and go meet him? Oh God. The Bible says he got up. He had on his leprosy robe. But he got up. And when he got up, he took his robe and he threw it off of him. And he went towards his lamb. Hallelujah. You know why he threw off that robe? Because he said, from this moment on, I will never be a blind beggar again. Hallelujah. He cast off the robe. He stood up, cast off the robe, and went to meet him. And I say to you tonight, cast off that robe. Hallelujah. Stand up. Cast off diabetes. Cast off arthritis. Cast off, amen. Cast off depression. Cast it off tonight. Walk towards your lamb. God has provided a lamb. Amen. I don't need a beggar's robe. I ain't going to beg no more. You don't have to beg. We're not beggars. Oh, hallelujah. We're sons and daughters of God. Amen. Can you see what he saw? He was as blind can be, but he saw a lamb. Can you rise up and step towards your promised word for your day? Cast off the asthma. Cast off that depression. Cast it off tonight. Tell the devil no more. We need a sham guard. We need a sham guard who'll grab the ox goat and jump out into the middle of his enemy and slay the devil tonight. Slay that thing that's over you. Slay it tonight. Oh, glory to God. I don't need an arthritis robe. I don't need a depression robe. I don't need a beggar's robe. I've got a lamb. Glory to God. He's my representation. The blood speaks better things for me. Amen. That was God's provided way. Go meet Jesus. That's right. Always the prophet said, when you've got sorrow in your home, go meet Jesus. Got sickness in your home, go meet Jesus. Got heartaches in your home, go meet Jesus. Hallelujah, he said. If you've got a need of anything, go meet Jesus. Go meet him. He's all the remedy you'll ever need. He ain't got the remedy. He's got the cure. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for essential oil, but he's better than essential oil. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Go meet him. Go meet him. He's got the cure. Martha got up and she went and met him because she knew he had the cure of what she had in her.
That's right. Praise God.
Then if God provided a way for us to go meet Jesus, it's what the quote said. That was God's provided way, was to go meet Jesus.
Amen.
So if God has provided a way for us to go meet Jesus, how can we do it?
Come on.
Huh? If it's God's provided way for us to go meet Jesus, then there has to be a way to do it.
Amen.
Or he would have never said it. There would have to be a way in the day that we're living in order for you and I to meet him. Because that's God's provided way for us. Go meet Jesus. Well, Brother Darrell, the doctor says it's real bad. Go meet Jesus. He's not the remedy. He's not a rub on salve. He is the salve. Amen. He said, so to me, in order to go meet him, in order to go where he's at, you've got to know where he's at. I ain't too smart. I'm from the hills of Tennessee, but you gotta go meet somebody. If you're supposed to meet somebody at 3 o'clock, it really does help to know where they're at, especially in Tucson. My Lord. 27 blocks, go 1 mile, be tired. So if we're going to meet him, we've got to go. We've got to know where he's at. He said, in a little while, the world will see me no more. But ye shall see me. How, Lord? How will I see you? Because I will be with you, even in you. Oh, God, tonight, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Like Elijah and his servant Gehazi, they was out there. And the Assyrians had them surrounded. And Elijah said, hey, go get some wood. Let's make some coffee.
There you go.
Folgers, no doubt. No. And so he sticks his head out of the tent. Shazam. Said, Elijah, you better come out here and see this. This is some kind of bad.
Amen.
And Elijah stuck his head out of the tent. And he said, well, there's more of us than there are them. Make the coffee. More of us than they are of them. I don't want to question you, but are you sure? And he said, Lord, open the boy's eyes. And when his eyes come open, all around the hillside was horses of fire and chariots of fire. Hallelujah. The one that was in the fire was with them. And I tell you tonight, there's more with us than there are them. Oh, hallelujah. We are the overcomers. We are victorious. We are an invincible army. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Hallelujah. It's time we get up. It's time we get to moving. We can pass this mountain long enough. It's time to turn northward. Hallelujah. You want to see Jesus? You can only see him in the manifestation of his word that he's promised in the hour you're living in. If you want to see Jesus, you have to see him in the manifestation of the word that's promised in the hour that you're living in. What does that mean? It simply means this. You can only see him where he's at. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. The vine does not bear fruit. The vine only purges the branch, and the branch bears fruit. Therefore, the only way, are you still with me? The only way that Jesus could speak tonight would be through my lips or your lips, my hands. Or your hands, my life, or your life. You see, it's God in me helping you, and it's God in you helping me. That's the way he designed this body, that we would work together. It's no time to divide. We are one in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only lips he can use, Brother Henry, is your lips. Your hands. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He doesn't bear the fruit anymore. He just purges his church. And the church bears the fruit. Then what kind of fruit will the church bear? If the life of him was in his church, it will bear the same kind of life that he bore when he was here. Then what has he done? He simply just changed his mask. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the same life that he bore when he was here, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. I am the vine. You are the branches. The vine does not bear the fruit. St. John 15. The vine cannot bear the fruit. It's the branches that bears the fruit as it's energized from the vine. And Christ is our energy. Your lips, it's his lips when you're energized. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about the energized buddy. I'm talking about the energized church. It just keeps on going. Hallelujah. The devil can't stop it. The storms can't stop it. Nothing can stop this church. We're energized by the Holy Spirit and we just keep moving. Your lips is his lips when you're energized. Your hands is his hands when you're energized. When you're energized from the vine, Christ is the life of the vine of his church. And each member is the branch of his church. The world again falling apart, 1963. His ministry is in his bride. Praise God. Then where is he? Where is he? He's here. We are his body on the earth today. They say we're a cult. We are not a cult. They say we're an organization. We are not an organization. We are not a denomination. Then what are we? We are His body on the earth, making Him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then He's here. And if He's here, it's time to get up. And go meet Him. Or if I could just get close to Jesus, He's sitting right beside you. Listen, you remember when Brother Brandon was in Jonesboro, Arkansas? He's praying for the people. He said, I have made up my mind, I was going to pray for everybody. And at the end of 8 days, there's more to pray for than it was the first day. So I stared at the pulpit, drank orange juice, praying for the people. And they come and got the prophet and took him around to an ambulance where a woman lay dead. Well, there's a man up in Kennett, Missouri. God had opened his eyes that morning, and a little black girl down in Memphis who was blind, her daddy heard it on the radio, and he got the money, got a bus, and they went to up to Jonesboro, Arkansas from Memphis, Tennessee to see the healer. She was standing there with her daddy. He said, now, honey, you stand right here. I'm going to go find the healer. And while he's gone, the crowd, so many people in the crowd moving around, they bumped her, and she got into the crowd, got to move, and she got lost.
That's right.
She began to cry, would someone please help me? I'm blind. I'm trying to find my daddy. Daddy, where are you? Daddy, I tried to stay, but like they bumped me. I don't know where I is. And the prophet was in the ambulance praying for this woman. God raised her up. He came out of the ambulance and said, Brother Branham, we'll never get you back in that way. And I'm telling this to make a point. We'll never get you back in that way. We've got to bring you around this way. And the prophet said, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And he come around this way because he couldn't get that way. Sometimes what you think is a bad thing for you, it's actually God bringing a victory to your life. Don't be so negative. Think positive. Think positive. And he come around the crowd. Now think of this. Here's all these people trying to get in to see Brother Branham. They didn't have iPhones. They didn't have screens to stream the service. They didn't know Brother Branham from Adam. All they knew, there was somebody in there that was praying for the sick. They were going in crippled, come out walking. They went in blind, come out seeing. That's all they knew. I tell you what, that's all you need to know. I don't need to know how he does it. I said, I don't need to know how he does it. I'm just glad he does it. So he's going through the crowd. And you know, Brother Brandon was a gentleman. And no doubt he said, excuse me, I'm sorry I didn't stepped on your toe. I'm so sorry I didn't mean to do that. I'm trying to get through the crowd. You know, the people, you know how it is, a crowd like that. Sometimes you get aggravated. Would you get out of the way? I'm trying to get in there and see the healer. And the very one they was trying to get in there and see was standing right in front of him. Can you imagine when they get there and say, that's the guy that stepped on my toe. I didn't have to wait 3 days. He was right there and I missed him. He was right there beside me and I missed him. And I wonder how many times have we sat here and we thought about our problems and we thought about our fears and Jesus has come in and sat right down beside us. Oh, hallelujah. And we missed him. We missed him because we let our problems. We sat still when he came into the house when we should have got up and said, Jesus, have mercy on me, Lord. And he got over to where the little girl was. I'm sorry. He got over where the little girl was. She's a young woman, actually. And he stood there so she'd bump into him. She said, excuse me? He said, what do you need? She said, sir, I'm blind. And I've lost my daddy. He said, daddy told me to stand right here. And I tried to do what daddy told me to do. But I got caught up in the crowd. And now I don't know where I'm at. Don't know where daddy is. He said, what are you doing here? She said, I come to see the healer. He said, the what? She said, the healer. He said, you don't believe that. As many fine doctors as we have today. She said, but you see, sir, they can't help me. They can't help me. But we know somebody who can. She said, but you see, sir, they can't help me. She said, I got cataracts or something. They tell me that if they take them out, they pull my eyes out of, and I'm blind. And I've lost my daddy. And he said, perhaps I'm the one you want to see. She said, what's your name? He said, Brother Branham. She said, you's the one I want to see. He said, she grabbed a hold of, excuse me, Brother Jack. Said, she grabbed a hold of my propels, and I said, now I'll help you, but you've got to let go of me. He said, she wasn't letting go. That's the way you need to do. You need to get a hold of Jesus and don't let go. Don't let go. Just hang on. Just hang on. Though you may weep tonight, but joy comes in the morning. Just hang on. He said, I couldn't pull her hands off of me.
Glory! Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
She said, is you the healer? He said, no. I'm Brother Branham. Jesus Christ is the healer. But he uses vessels. He uses people. He gifts them in a certain way that they can pray for you because he cares for us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. He said, do you believe that? She said, I tell you what, sir. If you take me to the healer, I'll find my daddy myself. Oh, God. Give me that kind of faith today.
Yes, yes.
Brother Branham said, I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. Jesus Christ is the healer. But he uses our hands. He uses our lips. Amen. He uses our prayers. Because he designed it in such a way that the body would function and live. Amen. His body's on the earth today. We're bone of his bone. We're flesh of his flesh. We're spirit of his spirit. Then where is he? He's right here with us now. Just like he said he would be. Now, just before we close, let's go back to Mary. Now, you Bible readers know I left Mary in a bad place. So let's just go back to Mary just for a minute. John 11, I'll just read it to save time. John 11, 23, Jesus said unto her, speaking of Martha, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Amen.
She said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. Is that not what he said to us? Only believe. He never said, did you feel it? But he said that, but he did say, did you believe it? If thou can't believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. The doctor says it's bad. All things are possible. The doctor says I can't live. All things are possible to them that believe. You ever seen blinded eyes open? I have. You ever seen the lame walk? I have. I know he does it. I've seen it. I see it every day of my life. My daughter was blinded from an accident, a severe brain injury. Over half of her brain, maybe three quarters of it, was damaged in the accident. She had brain shears where her brain tore and swelled in her brain. She lost her ability to speak, lost the ability to swallow, lost the ability to walk, lost the ability to control her hands, had to feed her through her stomach. She was nothing but a vegetable. But then Jesus came. Then Jesus came. That's what we had. That's what the doctor said. That's what the MRI said. That's what the CT scan. But then here came G-O-D. Hallelujah. And God gave her a scan. And when the Holy Spirit moved over her, God touched my little girl. He made her talk again. He made her walk again. Hallelujah. He made her see again. You ever seen somebody that was blind who can see? You ever seen somebody that couldn't walk that now can walk? Jessica, where you at, honey? I don't want to embarrass you. Forgive me for doing this. But stand up, Jessica. Stand up and raise your hand. You want to see somebody that was once blind? I was once blind, but now I see. I could not walk, but now I walk. Why? Because he's in the house. He is in the house. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Do you love him tonight? Do you believe him tonight? Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap for him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he's here. Go out and meet him. Go out and meet him tonight. Cast all your care upon Jesus. He cares for you. The Bible said, as soon as she heard that, she went her way and she called to Mary, her sister, secretly saying, this message was only for a chosen few. She went to Mary and she secretly said, Mary, as soon as she heard it, she went to Mary. She called Mary secretly. She said, Mary, the master's come and he calls for you, Mary. As soon as Mary heard it, as soon as Mary heard those words, the Bible said, you know what she did? She did exactly what Martha did. When she heard those words, he's here. The master is here. The Bible says she got up. She rose up quickly and she went to him.
Praise God.
Martha, think of it as we close. Martha, the church, the woman types the church.
Amen.
It was the church that brought the message. The church came with a previously hidden mystery that had been revealed. She come to Mary. She come to Mary, who was still in the house. She said, listen, Mary, I know you're hurting. I know you have sorrow. I know you feel depressed. Mary, I know you're nervous. I know you feel like your world's caving in. I know, Mary, you feel like you've lost everything. I know how you're feeling, Mary. But Mary, listen. Listen. Listen, Mary. He's here. Mary, 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 listen. Quick, cry. Mary, don't cry. Don't cry. Listen, listen. He's here. He's here, Mary. And he's calling. He's calling for you. Brother Darrell, you think he's, I believe, I know he's here tonight. He's here tonight. He said, we're two or three are gathered. I'll be in their midst. I know he's here. Brother Darrell, who do you reckon he's here for? Who did he come for? My brother, my sister, he come for you. He's calling you tonight for the sake of one. He would come out of glory. Oh, hallelujah. To make one person well in Tucson tonight. I know it's a nervous time. I know it's an unusual time. I know it's a dark time, an evil time, violence in the land, time of unrest. But listen to me tonight, Tucson. Listen to me. Listen to me. Shh. Calm down. Don't get nervous. Don't get upset. Don't quit. Don't worry about what they say on the internet. They say everything on the internet. God's body, united as his bride, being one. Him and Christ together, as the Spirit working in the flesh of the church, like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ, because it's part of his body, not twain, but one. They are one, a husband and wife, no longer two, but one. And Christ and his body is one. The same Spirit that was in Christ, the same Spirit that was in Christ, the same Spirit that was in Christ is in his bride. Oh, glory. His body that unites them together with all the word and God living in there. God living in there. God living in there. Himself manifested. Then she becomes the image of the invisible God. If I could only see him. He's here. He's just changed his mask. You got heartaches in your home? Go meet Jesus. You got a need for anything? Go meet Jesus. Go meet him. He's all the remedy and everything. He's not just the remedy. He's got the cure. And Martha and Mary, when they caught the revelation of where he was at. Oh, can I tell you something? Listen. Let me tell you something. When Jessica was hurt, I went into a chapel there at Houston Valley. And I laid on my face in that chapel. It's right there in the hallway. People walking by. I didn't care who heard me. I didn't care who saw me. But Jack, I was a desperate man. That was my baby. I had called somebody. It wasn't my pastor. Brother Donnie's a precious man, so don't think it was my pastor. I won't tell you who it was, but it was not Brother Donnie. I love Brother Donnie. He's a great man of God. I've been privileged to work with him 30 years, and God gives me grace. I'll be there till they tote me out. I'm getting old. What was I saying? I'm just kidding. I ain't that bad yet. But I was laying in the floor of the hospital chapel praying. And I had called somebody to ask him to pray for my daughter. And they told me they were too busy. I don't mind to tell you, that hurt. So I was laying in the floor of the chapel crying out to God. And please understand what I'm saying. I said, Lord, I said, Jesus, if you was here like you was 2,000 years ago, all I would have to do is touch the hem of your garment.
Hallelujah.
And I could go upstairs and I could get my baby and I could take her home.
Hallelujah.
I said, but Lord, you're not here like you was 2,000 years ago in a body called Jesus. And while I was laying there, just a few times the Lord's ever spoke to me in my life, just a few times. But this is one time I believe once again that the Lord spoke to me while I was laying there on the floor of the chapel. He spoke these words to me. I said, Jesus, you're not here like you was 2,000 years ago. If you was, I could just touch your garment and go home. And a voice spoke to me and said these words. It changed my whole understanding of the message. He said these words to me, but my bride is here. And if you touch my bride, you have touched me. And then I come to realize, friend, that all I had to do is get Brother Donnie, get Brother Andrew, get Brother Henry, get Brother Jack, get some of these other brothers. All I had to do is get Sister Bernie, get Brother Andrew to come down to the hospital and lay their hands on my little girl. It was, oh God, it was just the same as Jesus. It was just the same as Jesus, because that's where he's at today. He is in his people. He's here, and we can touch him tonight. We can get up and go meet him, because he is here. Thank God for every miracle we have on tape. It's great to hear the great things that God done in the 60s. But I am so happy that we don't have to go all the way back to 1960. And tell you something that God did then. But we are a people around the world tonight who can stand here until daylight the next morning and daylight the next morning and on and tell you the things that God is doing right now among his people. Why? Because he said, hallelujah, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works I do shall you do also. They shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Amen. He's working through his body on the earth right now. It's a many-membered body. I'd like to share just a couple of things with you before we close. Things I didn't have nothing to do with it. I was just there when it happened. But God gave me the privilege of witnessing it. up in Pennsylvania, a woman by the name of Sister Betty had glaucoma, the pressure in her eyes. It was so great. She had to wear sunglasses. She couldn't even see the lights. It hurt her eyes so bad. She came up for prayer, and the saints of God, the whole church, we prayed for Sister Betty. She had a specialist eye appointment with a specialist, a glaucoma specialist, on Monday. She goes to the glaucoma specialist on Monday after she was prayed for on Sunday, and the doctors examined her eyes. You know what he told her? He said, the doctor that sent you here needs their eyes examined. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. Hallelujah. God is the cure for glaucoma. I was out on the West Coast, and I gave that testimony of what God did for Sister Betty. There was a man sitting in the back with cataracts. He let out a big scream, and after service, he stood up and testified, and he said, the cataracts left my eyes. Right there in the service without even a prayer. Why? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's among his people confirming his word. I was in the Philippines. A man's blood pressure was so high, his nose was bleeding. His face was blood red. He was scared to death. He was sitting on a concrete block-like thing, and he was shaking because he's afraid he's going to have a stroke. I don't mind to tell you, when I saw him, it scared me. I've never seen somebody bleed from the nose because their blood pressure was so high. He was sitting there, tears in his eyes. He was shaking. Brother Jackie Benton, precious brother, we were together. We laid hands on the brother. The brothers gathered around. We just prayed for him. When we said amen, you know what he did? He got up. He took his handkerchief. He wiped the blood off of it. He started smiling. He started waving. He tipped his hat, and he went walking down the road just praising Jesus. Why? Because God is the cure of high blood pressure. I was in France. There's a woman on the front row. She had hair shorter than mine, earrings. She's a Catholic woman. Somebody invited her to the service. She was on a cane. I felt sorry for the woman. And I went down and just laid my hand. She didn't even speak English. She spoke French. I spoke English. Didn't even understand a word I said. I just laid my hand on her hand. I said, Father, this poor woman, she probably had a rough life. And now she's here on this cane. I said, Lord, would you just do something special for her, God? Just take her off the cane, Lord. Let her live the rest of her life without that cane. She comes back to church the next morning, and she stands up and wants to testify. A Catholic in a Methodist church testifying. And you know what she said? She said, I got up this morning, and I don't know why, but I didn't need my cane. Hallelujah! Since then, she's been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. She's saved. Her hair growed out. The earrings came off. She's wearing dresses. And the last time I saw her, she was vacuuming the church. I said, sister, every time I see you, you're getting younger and younger and younger. Oh, but I just thought we all are. And I was in Poland. I saw a man on a walker. I thought, well, if it'll work with a cane, it'll work with a walker. And I just went around and I was leaving the building. I took my stuff and I just happened to see him. And I come around, just laid my hand on his back and just went on. I got home. I got a text from a brother. Said the brother on the walker said, did you pray for him? I said, yes. I just laid my hand on him. He said he don't need the walker no more. You say, Brother God, no, it's not me. I've got nothing to do with it. I was just there when it happened. But what is it? It's God using his people. He said he would do that. He'll use you. He'll use anybody that'll surrender themselves to him. Sister in Kentucky, just as we're closing, but sister in Kentucky had a tumor on the breast. At the preaching of the word, she jumped up, let out a big wahoo, began to praise God, sat down, got up and left church. I thought, my goodness, got a blessing like that and leave church. That's going through my mind while I was preaching. There's all kinds of things go through your mind while you're preaching. It's a battle sometimes. You pick the right word, you know. A few minutes, she came back and sat down. I thought, my goodness. Church is over. She got to testify. She said, I'd like to testify. She said, I had a tumor on my breast. Hadn't even told my husband. So I made an appointment with the doctor to go see. She said, but when the word was being preached, I just felt the brother, Jeremy, he's gone today. But I was thinking about that when he said that. She said, when I was sitting there and the word's being preached, she said, I just felt like something like a warm vial of something just come over me. Said, I jumped up and started praising God. And she said, when I went out and I went to the bathroom and I checked myself, and she said, the tumor is gone. God in his people. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nicaragua at a young people's meeting. I was tearing off pieces of my handkerchief, giving to the young people. I said, when God heals you, you send that to Mike Siebert. Tell Brother Mike Siebert to give it back to me as a testimony of what the Lord did for you. Before the prayer line was over, the kids that was in the front of the line with the pieces of handkerchief, they came back in the line and gave them back to me. They just went by, handed them to me. The Lord just healed them right there in the meeting. A man was bent over like this, went through the prayer line. When he got to the end of it, he stood up. He shouted that church down. He was standing up straight up. He come through that line like that. When he got to the end, he was standing straight up. You know why? Because Jesus was there and he went out to meet him. Jesus, come on somebody. He was there and he went out to meet him. If he can do that in Nicaragua, he can do it in Tucson, Arizona. He's no respect of person. God is our healer. God is our healer. Jonas Hildebrand up in Canada had so many sinus infections. And they went in and cleaned out his sinuses till they actually cut the nerves out of his nose. He can't smell. We had a prayer line up there last February. He came through the prayer line. And I don't even know where I was at. It was at 1:30 in the morning. I do remember the time. I don't know where I was at, but I do remember the time. It was 1:30 in the morning. My phone goes, bzzz. And I looked at it and he said, are you up? I said, yep. Can I call you? I said, yeah, might as well. I love Brother Jones, precious brother. So my phone rings. He said, Brother Dale. Said I was going home from church tonight. Said, guess what? Said I was going home from church tonight and I smelled a skunk. He said, I smelled it before my wife did.
Praise God.
I said, praise God, Brother Darrell. I smelled a skunk. I thought, you know, that's right. When Jesus comes to your house, even a skunk smelled good. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last August, we was at Brother Andrew Boy Scott in Chubbuck, Alaska. Precious people up there, my God. They're definitely the outermost. They way up there. Precious people, my God, I love to go up there. Rough, but I love to go up there. Oh God. Can I have just a minute? I gotta tell this. I was preaching at Brother Andrew's church one time, I was preaching on God's army. I said, you know, God don't want no Boy Scouts in his army. Except for Brother Andrew. Of all the times to say that, I had to say that at Brother Andrew Boy Scouts Church. God don't want no Boy Scouts in his army. Except for Brother Andrew. Love you, Brother Andrew. I really do. But we was up there. There's a young girl. 23-year-old. I think Brother Flint Taken preached that morning. We had a prayer line. I was in front of the line. She come up to me. She said, Brother Darrell, I'm an alcoholic. She said, I can't quit drinking. She said, I've tried everything. I've been through the 12-step program 3 times. I've tried everything, but I can't quit drinking. And I said, sis, have you tried Jesus? I said, you lay your alcohol right here at the foot of the cross, and you walk away free. Because the blood of Jesus Christ makes us free. It takes the slave belt off of us. We do not have to be a slave to Satan anymore. You can tell him, I am not your slave. Don't you hit me one more time. I said, you lay your alcohol right here and you walk away free. I don't want to ability to reach out for her. That little baby, little three-year-old boy, I think she had a little child. And I took her hands. And we began to pray. And we began to pray. She began to scream out, I'm free! I'm free! And I tell you tonight, my brother, Jesus Christ is here to make every one of us free. The blood of Jesus makes us free. He's here tonight. Do you love him? Do you believe him? Then stand on your feet tonight. He's here. Raise your hands and say, Lord, I believe tonight. I believe tonight. I'm free. I'm free. The blood of the Lamb of God has made me free. Hallelujah. Amen. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. You are here, moving in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touch. Sing it to him. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. Let him heal you tonight. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship. Oh, you are here, mending every heart. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Oh, glory to God! You are the way maker, miracle I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see you, you're working, Lord. Change from glory to glory. Oh, hallelujah. Moving in our bodies, Lord. Taking out the cancer, God. Taking the fear away, God. Taking the arthritis away to God. Even when I don't see you, you're working, God. You're keeping your promise to me tonight. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to love you. I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to thank you for it, God. I'm just going to praise you for it. Because you're the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. You're the light in the darkness. That's who you are, Lord. That's who you are. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't meet him tonight. Don't meet him tonight. Step out. Lay your fear down. Lay your troubles down. He's here. He's here. He's the light in the darkness. The prison doors are open. Step out tonight. You're free. The blood of the Lamb of God has made you free tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you, my God, my healer, my deliverer, my promise keeper, my all in all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Do you believe? Do you believe? I challenge you tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing, receive your joy, receive it tonight, in the name. There's no need to have a prayer line, he's here tonight. Just raise your hand, receive it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, you've lost the battle. Come out of the people tonight. We're free, we're free. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Receive it tonight. Receive it tonight. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, that is who you are. Oh, hallelujah. The waymaker, miracle worker. Brother Doug, come tonight. Whoever come tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, testify. Testify. Tell them what you done. Tell them what the Lord did for you tonight. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't see him, he's working. He's working. The promise keeper. The way maker. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You're the waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. Waymaker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Amen. Give him a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah.
Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't see any reason to leave here tonight with a need. Not without making contact with them. Amen. But we're still going to invite you. We're still going to invite you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Gloria.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask you, brothers, on the front row, if you don't mind, we're going to need you to move somewhere else, if that'd be okay. And we're going to start a line over here on the this side, come up this aisle here. And I'm going to ask the ministering brothers to come up and join us tonight. And we're going to stand over here. We're going to invite you, to those of you that want to come through. We'll just lay hands on you. You just believe. Amen. Where are you at, Brother Boy Scout? So, Brother Boy Scout, I always wanted to see the Northern Lights. Where I lived in North Dakota, they said you could see them now and then. I never did. I lived there 4 years. I went up to Alaska. I really wanted to see the Northern Lights. And I went to the Uttermost Tabernacle, and I met Brother Boy Scout, and I realized, you know what? I'm seeing the Northern Lights. Because he's a light shining in the northernest part of our country. Amen. And that's where God put him. See lots of light.
Hallelujah.
Lots of lights here tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother John, where are you at? Come on.
Hallelujah.
Amen. As you come by, brothers are just going to lay their hands on you. Jesus is going to lay his hand on you through a body. And You just believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If I could get our Brother Jack and Brother Andrew and Brother Donnie and Brother Daryl, if you would be up in the front of the line, if you wouldn't mind. It's not that these brothers are more special than others, but the anointing is on them. They've been preaching the word, or will be preaching the word, and it's part of the ministry, I believe. Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, you're my say.